And we got the roundtable together for this week's game against the Buffalo Bills on Sunday. Changed up the lineup a little bit. We do have Tom Withers, who's the regular.
Thank you, Vic. You know, people have talked about the replacement refs. I have confidence in these guys.
But we don't have Jim Donovan or Doug Deacon with us. Instead, we have two very able backups taking over. Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scott, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Vic.
And our good buddy Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal.
Thanks, Vic.
All right, guys. And you guys are on from time to time anyway. But let's talk about this Buffalo game, just to the extent, Tom, that the sense of urgency, which we talked about last week, gets ratcheted up. You can give an encouraging performance offensively, as the Browns did, but I don't know how much it means if it's not followed by a win.
I agree 100%, and you could kind of sense that around the building, I think, this week, Vic. I mean, I think everyone knows that this is a big game, and you hate to put, you know, too much on one game, but after two games in which you were very competitive, you know, it's time to put it all together and get a win.
Right. And Scott, putting it all together certainly means just that, as far as one side of the ball that was lacking one week and the other, and then the opposite side lacks the other week. Do you see that happening? Are we convinced that the offense in one week found its way and now it's just a matter of the defense doing, I don't know if they're going to have another five turnover game. That's probably unrealistic, but certainly something formidable against a very formidable offense.
Yeah, I think the offense will be okay. I think they'll come close to duplicating last week's game. But it varies every week. There's matchups, and if the offensive line struggles with Buffalo's defensive line, it could have a hard time getting going. But I think it made huge strides last week, and I don't expect them to regress anywhere close to where they were week one.
And, Nate, that's the matchup we're going to be looking, is how this O-line can handle facing Mario Williams, Mark Anderson, Kyle Williams, Marcel Darius. It's really a, I want to say it's an all-star cast, but it was the additions of Williams and Anderson were done so that this thing would be just that. And they got their five sacks last week after being shut out against the Jets. How do you see that matchup working out between the Browns line, O-line, and that group?
Well, I think the main matchup within the matchup to watch is rookie Mitchell Schwartz over there, right tackle, is going to be going against Mario Williams. Huge challenge for Mitchell Schwartz, obviously. Mario Williams, one of the best ends in the league, has been for some time. And Schwartz, obviously, I think he has progressed from week to week here early in the season. But he's had some trouble with some pass rushers this season. And it's going to be really key for him to play well, because I think, you know, Brandon Whedon, one thing that was key for the offense last week against the Bengals was he didn't suffer from those ball security issues that he did throughout the preseason and in week one. We'll see if he can still solve that problem if the Bills get in his face.
Mitchell Schwartz has made leaps and bounds improvement in one week. I mean, that game he had against the Bengals, it was noticeable that flank, that side of the line was pretty tight.
Yeah, he did a nice job. You know, we were talking to Joe Thomas today, and he said that Mitchell's in for a long day on Sunday, but he meant that from the standpoint that it's going to be snap to snap, an incredible challenge for him. You know, in some ways, though, you want to see your rookies maybe thrown into the deep end of the pool and see what they've got, and what a better challenge than Mario Williams.
And as I look at this offense, the Browns offense, let's start with Brandon Whedon, to the extent that he seemed more playing within himself in this last game. And some of that was coaching, right? Because he was put in a position where he wasn't taking downfield shots as many as he did against the Eagles. There were higher percentage throws. I thought, Tom, that allowed him to get his confidence, get his legs under him.
100%. We talked about that last week, getting a couple of easy throws right away. And I think, you know, Vic, and not to say that the wide receivers did a bad job in the first game, but nobody made plays for him in that first game. You know, there were several instances I thought where, you know, guys should have caught the ball. I mean, Pat Shurmur talked about a ball hitting Greg Little in the neck. And, you know, Greg Little came back this week and made some nice catches and made some plays for Brandon. So I think that's as big a part of it as anything is, you know, while he did show better poise in the pocket and made better decisions about guys making plays.
It's the roundtable portion. We have Tom Withers with us and Scott Petrick and Nate Ulrich. Scott, Trent Richardson's running, which was obviously the key to that offensive, I'm going to use the word explosion, that offensive improvement against the Bengals. Seeing that this week, I would think, given – what we see from Buffalo's defense, Buffalo is having issues stopping the run. So I would think that's a place where Trent can have some success again, find those holes, find those openings, and do it again.
I would, too. I think last week is going to be nothing but a springboard for him. The confidence from week one to week two was obvious, the jump he made. He's walking different, a little bit differently in the locker room. He took it upon himself to address the team before practice Wednesday. I think he feels like now he's one of the top, you know, two or three guys on this team.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Jim Brown factor, he's going to be at the game Sunday. He's going against C.J. Spiller on the other sideline, and I just talked to him about that. And he said, you know, you pay attention to it. You don't consider a one-on-one matchup, but you pay attention to the guy on the other side of the, on the other team. So I would expect Trent to have another big week, you know, catching, running the ball and catching the ball.
He, in that locker room, he does look like there's a real bounce. He's not just walking around. He's kind of like, you know, dancing around the locker room like a guy who's so excited about feeling good about himself, Nate, and feeling good, I think, about his chances of doing something Sunday that's exceptional.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think the thing about Trent Richardson that really is impressive is week in, week out, he finds something extra to motivate himself. You know, not that he needs extra motivation, but he's that kind of guy who can just find something to push himself a little bit harder, a little bit further. And I think this week, Jim Brown being there, he said it raises the stakes. I think last week against the Bengals, it was Ray Maluga's comments.
Sure.
And I think in week one against the Eagles, he didn't have the debut he wanted, but let's face it. He came back after having a knee surgery on August 9th.
Sure.
We didn't know if he'd be ready for week one, and he got himself on the field. And even though, you know, it wasn't his best showing, I think it was impressive in a lot of ways that he just got out there. And obviously the bounce back last week was tremendous. So, yeah, his attitude and his confidence is through the roof right
now.
That's
how Michael Jordan used to operate, right, Vic?
Yeah.
I mean, find something, whatever it was, to get that edge and get himself fired up.
Guys, covering the Bills all these years, Thurman Thomas, Bruce Smith, they'd manufacture things. There was stuff that I know wasn't real, but they'd said it, that fired him up. Yeah, the Dolphin guy said that about us. With regard to another form of maybe motivation, sharing the field with the NFL's leading rusher after two games, C.J. Spiller, the chore that this Browns defense faces to handle this guy, who is small, which I think makes him very tough to bring to the ground, on top of being fast, elusive. How do you see this matchup working out?
I tell you what, we've been talking about it all week, Vic. Yeah. They got their hands full this week. I mean, you cannot let this guy find the corner, or all of a sudden he turns into Usain Bolt with a football. So I think the Browns really, I mean, they're going to have to probably stack the line. They're going to have, we heard a lot more about gap integrity this week than we've heard pretty much all season. But yeah, it's going to be about, you know, not only trying to slow him down at the line, but then wrapping him up when you have a chance. There's got to be some real sound tackling this week.
Well, and I think the Bills make it tough. Not only do they have a big-time offensive line, but everybody on the Browns keeps talking about how they spread you out. And if they spread you out and get C.J. Spiller just enough space, it puts him in a one-on-one matchup. And when a guy's that small and that fast, you make one guy miss, and it's a 60-yard play. So, and I think it really puts pressure on DeCarl Jackson, the linebacker, and Craig Robertson, the young linebacker, who's going to see a lot of time in nickel, and it'll be just those two linebackers, and they'll have a lot of responsibility.
And it's so important for the Browns to get this thing at least under wraps. You don't know if he's going to be shut down, but contained somewhat, because if that's not the case, now I look at Ryan Fitzpatrick. Now you look at Stevie Johnson and those receivers, and of course Spiller can catch the ball. That passing game just, Nate, becomes so much more effective when if this guy is also running and you can keep the defense off balance.
Yeah, I mean, we can talk about Brandon Weeden and Trent Richardson and dealing with Mario Williams, and those are keys of the game, but I think the biggest key to the game, bar none, is definitely the Browns against C.J. Spiller. Are they going to be able to limit him? Are they going to be able to contain him at all? Last season, I keep thinking about this, Vic, and you know, I know it's a painful memory for a lot of your listeners, but when the Ravens wanted to run the ball with Ray Rice, they ran the ball. When the Texans wanted to run the ball with Arian Foster, they ran the ball. So, you know, this Browns defense is unproven in so many ways when it comes to stopping the run. It's been a huge weakness, and this is going to be a huge test and a deciding factor.
The thing I keep going back to, though, with Spiller, get him going sideways, mm-hmm. because there's a reason Fred Jackson took over that role from this guy Spiller, who was a first-round pick, and Jackson came out of nowhere, and Jackson was the man, and he's out of the lineup hurt. This is why Spiller's playing, but I think it's all about making him go sideways. He was getting way too many openings for the Chiefs' sake last week.
Agreed too, and Vic, it's just so important for the Browns not to get behind early. I mean, they chased that 7 points last week after the punt return the entire game, so I think, you know, if you want to negate Spiller, you know, get out to a 7 or 10-0 lead and make the Bills throw the ball. Make Ryan Fitzpatrick beat you down the field.
And Scott, you brought up the punt return. They get another one. Leotis McKelvin, one of the best in the league, got a touchdown return last week. Just a very dangerous guy. I don't know that the coverage units aren't good enough, but they certainly can't. I mean, the vision of them missing six tackles on that play just still boggles my mind.
No, I know. And he's a good one. He's a real good one. He's been one for years. I do think Ray Ventrone, Bubba, who's got the broken hand, who's going to try to play this week, said he took it as a positive that there were six missed tackles. Not that they missed the tackles, but it showed that the scheme was sound and it wasn't a coaching mistake. It was just a lack of execution.
Sure.
And that can be corrected. So that's what he's kind of taking stock in. And the Browns will be better with him on the field. And Josh Cribbs is extra motivated because he hates giving up punt returns, and he didn't have a huge game last week. So I think there's an extra motivation in the special teams, and they're going to have to win that battle in order to win the game.
Guys, thank you so much. Tom Withers from the Associated Press, Scott Petrick from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, and Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. They're the roundtable. We've got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.